From the Land de Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 18th day of September 2012. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. In agricultural news, a court in California has decided to allow negotiations to go forward to settle a lawsuit that could influence national pesticide regulations. And China, for the moment, remains the largest foreign holder of U.S. treasuries, but Japan is buying up fast. Dave Dickey will have details of these and other stories shortly. And then, in just about 26 minutes, as we close out the program, we'll talk with Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. You're listening, of course, to Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. You can always find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM, now providing a new mobile site, FarmerView, for up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
Now it's a Tuesday afternoon. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. The numbers from Chicago finished up like this for the day at 2 o'clock. December soft red winter wheat at 863.5 at the CME Group, down 14.5 cents in the July, the harvest month, the settlement price there at $8.46, settled 16.5 cents lower. In Kansas City, the nearby contract, rather the July contract, well, that don't have a number for it, so we'll just skip that altogether. December corn back in Chicago down 9 cents, 739. That's a close and not a settlement. The March at 742 and 3 quarters in Chicago for the corn, down 9 and 3 quarters. May at 748 and a quarter, 3.5 lower. And July at 736 and 3 quarters, down 7 and 3 quarters. And September corn, 663.5, down 7 cents. December of next year, 632.5 in the corn pit, down 8 and 3 quarters. From the bean pit, November contract in Chicago, the nearby at $16.42, down 27 cents in the harvest month. January futures, $16.39.5, down 30.5, and March soybeans, $16.01, down 31 and 3 quarters. The May at $15.34 and 3 quarters, down 18 in July, $15.12 a bushel, down 9 and a quarter. And then things turn to the positive side. August of next year, $14.88 and 3 quarters, up 3 and 3 quarters. In November at $13.49, up 8 and a quarter. Bean meal, October at $4.91.40, down 12.10. And bean oil at $54.87, 11 cents lower. Live cattle futures, the nearby contract trading the October at $128.40, up 90 cents. The September feeders at $145.27.5. Nickel lower, the October there at 147.37.5, up 37.5 cents, and October lean hog, $74.10, up 72.5 cents. This is the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures, October contract, $95.12 a barrel, up a dollar, rather down $1.50 for the day. The RBOB gasoline, or wholesale price, 5 1/10 of a cent lower at $2.89 2/10 of a cent. And ethanol in the October at $2.27 9/10. That's 3 9/10 lower. The difference between the two and the spread is 61 cents to the positive side in favor of using ethanol in the gasoline supply. Natural gas at 2.76 7/10, that down 9 8/10 of a cent. And heating oil or diesel fuel at $3.12 1/10 of a cent is 4 2/10 of a cent lower. Gold futures on the afternoon, $1,768.70 an ounce, up 70 cents, and the dollar now at 79.25 is up 0.24. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. We should see sunny skies and a high of just 64 degrees on a northwest wind at about 17 miles an hour this afternoon. And then tonight, mostly clear, a low of 38 with a northwest wind at 6 to 11, sustained and becoming light after midnight. Winds could gust all the way to 16 throughout the evening. Wednesday, sunny skies, a high of 71, light and variable winds. Wednesday night, partly cloudy and 50 degrees. Thursday, mostly sunny, a high of 74, the west winds at 8 to 10. And Thursday night, partly cloudy and a low of 52 degrees. On Friday, a 50% chance of showers after 8 in the morning, mostly cloudy, a high of 69 degrees. And Friday night, a chance of showers, mostly cloudy, a low of 46. By the time we get to Saturday, sunny skies will return, 63 degrees. Saturday night, partly cloudy and 42. Sunday, sunny and 64. And Sunday night, mostly clear, a low of 46. Monday, sunny skies and 71 degrees. A more complete look at the weather forecast comes up at the bottom of the half hour right here on Illinois Public Media. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It does come to you from the University of Illinois.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
It's September the 18th, 2012. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. On the phone line with us now is Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Why, good afternoon, Todd.
Well, first, Wayne, thanks for coming over to Salute to Agriculture Day. I had a really good time sitting with you and Jackie Vakes and Paul Cooley and watching the Illini win a game on Saturday. Hopefully, they'll continue to do so.
It's always fun for the alums to come back and see a winning team on the field.
Yeah. It's never not much fun if they're not winning, that's for sure. So let's be hopeful and that Tim Beckman continues to roll on with a few more wins over the season. Let's take a look now, Wayne, at what's happened in the marketplace for the day. Yesterday was really ugly in the marketplace. Today, a little bit better. What happened?
Well, you know, yesterday was a tremendous sort of shock to most all of our systems. We expected a little bit of downward pressure with the harvest over the weekend and also with the port technical close on Friday, but we did not expect a limit down move yesterday when we come into the office. Today was another risk-off attitude in Chicago. Basically, no big news came out to make us feel otherwise, so we continue to see a little bit of liquidation after yesterday's hard shot down. You know, the crude oil continues to be weigh a little heavy. The the ethanol production is down a little bit, so we're not using quite as much. And a few announcements of a couple more ethanol plants closing down, or at least for repairs, for extended repairs. So all of that combined with no Chinese business sort of has a little bit risk off again today.
Do we have a better idea of what happened yesterday and what led the marketplace lower?
Well, I think that, number one, technically, we hadn't been able to rally. We pushed below the 20-day moving average in some cases, and we saw a lot of people saying that, hey, the yields in some areas that got the rain were starting to come in, and they were a little better yields. North Dakota, South Dakota, Minnesota, and parts of Iowa were seeing a little better yields coming on. I think a little bit of unrest around the world in some of the Japanese, Chinese tug of war bit of what's going on with their situation over there, just sort of we didn't get the oomph out of the renewed QE3 or government stimulus money that we were hoping for.
As you look forward, what do you see the rest of this week?
Well, you know, we hope we're getting down to some levels where we should start to see a little bit of stabilization here, Todd. But the closes today, you know, here we are. We made new lows in the last 15 minutes in the Dease corn. We did push under 740. You know, that sort of opens the door to 735 there. You know, as far as the November beans, we did close 9.75 cents off the low, but you know, unfortunately, we think they're going to be shooting for a little bit more there as we go along the way. But all in all, you know, it's time for things to tighten up a little bit, and maybe we'll see a little end-user buying start to come into the market.
I suppose, would you be willing to call this just kind of harvest pressure as well in the corn pit?
Oh, yes. I mean, you know, like we said along the way, there's three reasons to store corn. One of them is very cheap prices, thinking the price flat price is going to go up. The other is poor basis. We have it. We've had very strong basis. Another is carrying the market, and we haven't had carrying the market. So there's a lot of corn coming to the market, and we're hearing, you know, about lines everywhere and lots of corn coming in. So we're under some harvest pressure for sure.
So the market still telling producers go ahead and sell it across the scale, and do you agree with it?
You know, I think as long as we're here close to the 750 level basis cash corn, it's still a better sale than store. And looking at your situation, depending on if you are in the areas that have some aflatoxin, it's definitely a better situation to haul it into the elevator than putting your own bins.
What are you hearing about early soybean harvest?
All over the board. I think that if you're in the areas that got some rain, you're having some fairly decent yields. You know, up around Vetersburg, up towards Linden over here, and around that way, we're hearing some fairly decent bean yields. A lot of the other areas that got rain, they've been out getting their corn. They haven't been getting their beans. But we've heard mainly in our area a lot of 20 to 25 bushel yields.
Much made over the last 24 hours about rainfall in Brazil and parts of Argentina that have been dry. Have you heard enough to know that whether that's really panning out or not?
Oh, it's what we were we've talked about, that we needed to look at that and see that the rain started. If you remember, just 10 days ago, we were talking about the idea that they'd like to have started earlier and maybe even got a few more acres in early. and the beans if they'd had some of these rains. So they are coming. They are starting to come in. It is the seasonal thing to do down there, and this will allow them to start planting some beans now. But they'll be. This is more on regular schedule than being there early, though.
Do you have anybody south of you that is finishing up corn and putting wheat into the ground?
Don't have anybody that's putting wheat in the ground that we've talked to yet today, but the prices and the insurance levels is sure very attractive for the wheat.
Yeah. Do you have that number? I don't have it in front of me.
I don't have it in front of me,
yeah,
Todd.
Because that was set in the month of just finished up, I think, on the 14th last week. We'll try to go back and catch that crop insurance number for wheat. But it should prompt a few folks to put a few more wheat acres into the ground, I would think. It ought to be high enough.
It's very attractive if you're in the area and you it fits in your rotation, and especially this year with some of the corn in southern Illinois, southern Indiana, and that being so dry and getting out so early that I think it's, with these last rains that we've seen, why I think it's going to be very advantageous.
All right. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd.
Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana, joins us here on the Closing Market Report for this Tuesday afternoon.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
Of course, you're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. Take time this afternoon, if you've been out for a while harvesting corn or in your soybeans, to shut down the machines and get a little rest. Close your eyes, take a nap. That's what the folks who study things at the University of Illinois and other places say that for your safety you should do. So time now, take a little nap, shut her down. We'll get back to you in about 10 or 15 minutes. You can always hear what we have to say if you want to this evening on our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. Dave Dickey will be here in just a few minutes, or a few seconds, I should say, with a look at today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, a California court will allow agriculture and environmental groups to continue negotiating an agreement in a major lawsuit that could alter the way hundreds of pesticides are used across the country. Environmental groups filed suit in January of 2011, alleging EPA violated the Endangered Species Act by not consulting federal wildlife officials about the potential effects that pesticides and other agriculture chemicals would have on hundreds of species. EPA claimed that by approving ag chemicals according to rules of the Federal Insecticide, Pesticide, and Rodenticide Act, the Endangered Species Act rules did not apply. The lawsuit names some 300 registered pesticides and other ag chemicals and their potential effects on about 200 species. The lawsuit could alter some 30,000 ag chemical endangered species combinations in all 50 states. The Treasury Department says that China remained the largest foreign holder of U.S. Treasuries in July, but Japan may take over the number one position as a net buyer with another month of record holdings. China's holdings rose marginally by $2.6 billion to $1.15 trillion. Following net selling of $17 billion in June. Meanwhile, Japan remained the second-largest holder of treasuries, lifting its holdings to $1.17 trillion from $1.10 trillion in June, while China's purchases have fallen by about $165 billion in the last year. Japan has boosted its portfolio by roughly $232 billion in the same period. European Union farmers and industry associations say that new European Union proposals to sharply limit biofuels derived from food crops could devastate the bloc's biofuels sector, which would threaten hundreds of thousands of jobs. The EU is forming a new plan partially in response to fears that the 2007-08 world food crisis could be repeated. The European Commission is proposing to limit the share of energy from food crop-based biofuels, such as rapeseed, to less than 5% of the total energy consumed in the transport sector in 2020. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. That's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, both programs you can find on our website. You can find all of our programming there, in fact, for agriculture at WILLAG.org. If you happen to miss it and you can't catch us on the radio or on our website, dial this number at 10:15 and 3:15 each and every day. We update it with some analysis and the latest set of numbers at 217-333-3434. Yesterday afternoon, the United States Department of Agriculture released its latest crop progress report. It showed that 97% of the corn around the nation had dented as of Sunday. That compares to the rolling five-year average of 87%. 76% of the corn crop is mature, compares to the five-year average of 41%, and 26% of the crop has been harvested now. That compares to 9% on the rolling five-year average. Last week, the poor and very poor condition ratings were both at 26%. It's gotten a bit better this week at 25% for both the very poor and the poor. That's 50% of the total crop in those two categories. Soybeans dropping leaves, according to the United States Department of Agriculture, NAS, as of the 16th day of September, 57%. Rolling five-year average is 37%. And as of Sunday, 10% of the soybean crop around the nation had been harvested. The rolling five-year average is 4%. The soybean condition for the week hasn't changed much from last week. 15 and 21 in the very poor and poor categories are the same. Fair category is 31%. That's down 1 percentage from the previous week. That 1% went into the good condition, which is now 28%. And the excellent condition soybeans around the nation number just 5%. Now, here are the state statisticians from the five top corn-producing states in the nation with their regional updates.
This is LaTravis Brazil. Our fill-offs, mostly dry condition coupled with cooler temperatures during the week 8 at harvest of our crops. Topsoil moisture level is rated at 84% very short to short, while subsoil moisture is rated at 93% very short to short. Only 18% of our corn is rated in good to excellent condition. 88% of the corn crop is at or beyond the mature stage. 22% of the corn crop has been harvested for grain or seed 3 weeks ahead of normal. Moisture content for all corn in the field is estimated at 23%, while the moisture content for corn being harvested is estimated at 19%. 27% of our soybean is rated in good to excellent condition, a 3 percentage point increase from last week. 90% of our soybean crop is turning color, a 13 percentage point increase from last week, while 54% of our soybean fields are turning color. 27% of our pasture rangeland is rated in fair or better condition, a 4 percentage point increase from last week. Livestock condition for the week have been excellent, as some producers are starting to move cattle to stocks fields. This is LaTravis of Brazil reporting for the USDA National Agricultural Statistical Service, our field office.
This is Brad Schwab, Chief Crop Statistician with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Illinois field office, reporting on crop progress and conditions for the week ending Sunday, September 16th. Rainfall accumulations fell short of normal at only 16 one-hundredths of an inch, which was 60 one-hundredths of an inch below normal for the seven-day period ending Sunday, September 16th. Topsoil moisture supplies were reported at 15% very short, 34% short, and 51% adequate. Subsoil moisture below the 6-inch profile was reported at 37% very short, 46% short, and 17% adequate. Corn in the mature stage was reported at 87% compared to 58% 1 year ago and 52% for the 5-year average. Corn harvest now stands at 36%. Compared to 9% last year and 13% for the five-year average. Overall, the state's corn crop was rated in mostly very poor condition. Soybeans turning yellow advanced to 79% compared to 62% 1 year ago and for the five-year averages. 45% of the crop was dropping leaves compared to 26% last year and 32% for the five-year average. 3% of the crop has now been harvested, and this pace compares to 1% a year ago and 2% for the five-year average. Overall, the state's soybean crop was rated in mostly fair condition. This has been Brad Schwab with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Scott Kelly with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in the Nebraska Field Office with the Weather and Crops Report for the week ending September 16, 2012. Fall harvest continued to gain momentum until midweek when showers occurred across much of the state. Statewide precipitation totals, however, were less than a half an inch in most locations. This reduced fire danger for a time, but did little to change the overall soil moisture situation. Largest rainfall accumulations were recorded in the southeast, with a few locations receiving over 2 inches. Statewide corn harvest was near one-fourth complete. Soybean harvest had started, with fields maturing rapidly. Winter wheat seeding was slow, with emergence of young crop limited due to the dry topsoils, and proso millet harvest was active in western counties. Cattle producers continued seeking forage supplies, and culling of livestock remained active. This is Scott Keller with USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, the Nebraska Field Office in Lincoln.
Hello, this is Mark Gutierrez, agricultural statistician with the USDNS Minnesota Field Office. Producers continue to make progress on corn and soybean harvest this past week. As of September 16th, the soybean harvest advanced to 16% complete compared to 1% for the 5-year average. The average moisture content of harvested soybeans was 12%. Corn harvest advanced to 12% complete compared to 1% average. The average moisture content of harvested corn was 21%. Crop development continued ahead of average. Corn was 80% mature compared to 23% last year and 30% average. Soybeans were 57% mature compared to 5% last year and 13% average. Dry conditions persisted across most of the state. Some northern areas remained dry, while precipitation amounts recorded in southern parts of the state ranged up to nearly one half of an inch. Topsoil moisture supplies were rated 32% very short, 44% short, and 24% adequate. That's the weekly crop weather report for the week ending September 16, 2012. This is Mark Gutierrez with the USDNS Minnesota Field Office.
Hello, this is Greg Matley with the Indiana Field Office of USDNS. Favorable weather conditions allowed farmers to make good progress with harvest and tillage operations during the week. Corn harvest is progressing rapidly, but is still behind the record early pace of 2010, when approximately 21% of the crop had been harvested at this time. Corn yields are reported to vary greatly between fields and even within individual fields. 96% of the corn acreage is in the dent stage, compared to 81% last year and 84% for the 5-year average. 65% of the corn acreage is mature, compared to 32% last year and 41% for the 5-year average. 17% of the corn acreage has been harvested, compared to 3% last year and 7% for the 5-year average. Moisture content for harvested corn is averaging about 23%. Soybean harvested has been slow to get started, but many fields are now mature. 5% of the soybean acreage has been harvested, compared to 1% last year and 4% for the 5-year average. Moisture content in harvested soybeans is averaging about 14%. This is Greg Matley reporting.
Our thanks go to the state statisticians with their weekly updates of the USDA NAS Crop Progress Reports.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
You're listening, of course, to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'll be back in just 2 minutes when we'll take a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast with Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming.
It's National Play-Doh Day. The modeling clay substitute was developed by Noah and Joseph McVicker in 1956. Originally, the compound was available only in one color, off-white, and came in a 1.5-pound cardboard can. Among the ingredients, wheat flour, water, and salt. On this day in agricultural history in 1843, Charles Valentine Raleigh was born. A British-born American entomologist, he pioneered the scientific study of insects for their economic impact in agriculture. In 1851, the first edition of the New York Times was published. In 1951, John Clark was born, an English molecular biologist. He was a founder of applying molecular technology to farm animals. His work resulted in a sheep giving milk with human proteins. And his work set the stage for the eventual cloning of a sheep in 1996, the result of transplanting the DNA of an adult sheep to an unfertilized egg cell. And in 1990, a 500-pound, 6-foot-high Hershey chocolate kiss was put on display at Times Square in New York City. And that's This Day in Agricultural History.
Listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Tuesday afternoon. Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, always joins us. Good afternoon to you, Don.
Good afternoon.
Oh, it is a beautiful day here, but it feels a lot like fall. Do we have more of the same coming up?
Boy, we really do. When you take a look at the weather across the lower 48 states, you can split the country right down the middle. Basically, along and east of the Mississippi River, temperatures have been cooler, very fallish, below normal, and we see that trend continuing at least here for the next week. West of that area, west of the Mississippi, temperatures are above normal and conditions are drier. So the nation, and especially here in the midsection, the Great Lakes, Midwest, East, all will see cool fall conditions for at least another week.
All right. And then if you go out 2 weeks, what do you see? Any changes?
Well, we'll probably start to see this current pattern break down a little bit, and we'll start to see a little bit more weather enter into the west. But it's going to be a stubborn pattern. So if we're going to see any significant break in what we have now, it's going to probably be about 9 or 10 days down the road. After that, we should get a little bit warmer, and we'll start to await the next change to cooler weather, but that will probably hold off till early October.
I know it's early, but we're in the midst of a drought still in parts of the Midwest. The western part are on the other side of the Mississippi River from us. Are you concerned about them going into the winter and spring months of next year?
Well, what you got to look at, in addition to the fact that they're already dry, is that as you get into those areas of the country, September, October, November, December, your average precipitation decreases anyway. Those are not particularly very wet months. So we certainly are concerned that it's going to be hard to get any good precipitation to get in there to help alleviate the dryness. What we really have to look forward to is, well, what is the spring and winter season going to bring? Because that, I think, is going to be more important than what they get now, because it's going to be hard to get any really significant moisture this fall in those areas. They'll get some, but not enough to alleviate the current dryness.
Oh, it's hard to hope for a really harsh winter with a lot of snow, but I guess that's what they need, huh?
Well, that's exactly right.
All right. Turn your attention to the southern part of the globe and talk about South America.
Well, they're going to see a little bit more of a wet pattern, especially Brazil, which has been pretty dry here lately. The weather is going to be picking up a little bit in terms of more storminess for both Argentina and Brazil. So while there are still some dry areas, we're expecting it to be cooler and wet, especially towards Argentina, southern Brazil.
And if you look other places around the planet, China in particular, should be in the midst of harvest season there. How are they faring at this point?
Well, at least here in the short term, the weather's pretty active across China. So there may be some delays with harvest, especially through the rest of this week. Next week, the weather pattern not as busy, but still a bit on the active side. China experiencing a bit more weather than we are here in the U.S. at the moment.
Thank you so much, Don.
Thank you.
Don Day is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Joins us on this Tuesday afternoon edition of the Closing Market Report. And that wraps it up. You can always find us again, if you'd like, on our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit of Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agriculture industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.